What's up, everybody? Mike here with you, and you're listening to Today's Rock on 89.9 KGRG FM. I'm super excited because joining me in the studio today is Andrea, the program director for KGRG One, your classic alternative.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing, homie?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. But in addition to being the program director for our sister station, KGRG One, you're also the host of a show, yeah?
Yeah, I'm the host of The Mixtape here on 89.9 FM. We play your classic alternative, just like KGRG One,
mm-hmm.
but we bring it to the FM airwaves because it just sounds better.
So, because FM radio sounds better than AM radio, is
yeah,
that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, basically.
Well, I would contend that on the internet, it both sounds good. But
that's true.
We're not going to split hairs here.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a very exciting guest chilling with us on the phone. Give it up for one of my favorite guests, Kyle Stevens from Kirby Crackle. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And actually, we're having you on today because we're huge fans of Kirby Crackle and nerd rock and everything that goes with that. But we're not talking about nerd rock specifically today. You've got a really sick show coming up on April 8th that we were going to have you on to talk about. What's going on?
Well, we're talking about. Today we're not talking about nerd rock. We're talking about rock that I'm a nerd for.
Oh, I like it.
So, gotcha.
So, we're doing a benefit for the Vitalogy Foundation. The Vitalogy Foundation is a charity that's run by Seattle legends Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. And they donate to social causes, underprivileged kids, after-school programs, et cetera. And so on April 7th, they're being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in New York, and I thought, you know, what better time than this to do a Pearl Jam tribute night with a bunch of Seattle bands, and all the proceeds go to the Vitalogy Foundation.
That's really, really cool. And where and when is that show?
Well, it's going to be on April 8th at the High Dive in Fremont, area of Seattle there. The High Dive is a club that I've been playing at for years and years off and on, and they've gone through different management changes over the years, but they're always great, and I think right now the club is kind of like in its prime. So we're going to be there with about 8 different bands, and basically I just, you know, called up some people I respect and I mm-hmm. think rock, and I said, do you guys want to be a part of a tribute band? And most of them said yes before I even finished the sentence. So, everyone's just going to play their favorite Pearl Jam songs, and some different lineups are being put together for this show that we haven't seen before, and it's just going to be a big love thing.
Cool. Yeah, I had a few questions. Are there any songs that you guys fought over? Like, one person said, okay, I really want to do that song. And you're like, oh, man, I really wanted to do that song. Was there any tension? Or did you just say, hey, let's both do it together or separately?
That's a really good question. Well, the way it worked is I hadn't thrown a tribute night before, so I talked to some other people that do it regularly. And kind of if you want to know the inner workings of how these things happen, basically mm-hmm. I just asked bands to give me the list of their top 10 songs.
Mm.
And so luckily there wasn't much overlap. I think someone else chose Corduroy, and that's one of my favorite songs. So I'm throwing this together, so I'm going to be greedy and do Corduroy at this show. But other than that, we're okay. Everyone just kind of does their own thing, and there wasn't too much conflict. So whether you're a fan of, you know, Pearl Jam from the very beginning, or you're the fan of their newer stuff, you just discovered them, I think it's pretty cool how much of the catalog is going to be covered. Not only like the singles, but also like deep cuts. So that's what I'm pretty excited about. I'm more excited to watch people than I am to play, actually. I'm excited to play, but I just can't wait to see what people do.
Cool. So there's not a whole lot of fighting. It's everyone's going to kind of cover a lot of stuff throughout their catalog.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think over the course of the night, there's going to be something like 40-something songs, so
wow.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah.
So do you have a favorite song? You said Corduroy. Another one that's like top for you?
Yeah, you know, I was humbled by some of these songs, and rightfully so, because some of them are really hard to sing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's kind of like I was raised on this stuff. This stuff is kind of like where I get my musical influence from, so a lot of it is just stuff I've been listening to for years, and then pretty cool to go into it and be like, okay, that's what they're doing there. Like, I just kind of always assumed, you know, for like 20 years thinking that you played it a certain way, and you find out it's a different way. But You know, I'll be doing Spin the Black Circle, and that's pretty up there. So we're kind of working, we're working through the set to end up at that place. You don't start with Spin the Black Circle.
Cool. Very true. Very true. So we're not going to necessarily hear like seven versions of Jeremy, right?
No, no, no one's doing any song. Like no one's overlapping at all.
Okay.
So, yeah. So there's like, you know, there's big singles being covered. There's some that are kind of, I think, being left as a surprise to see who just decides to do them. But then, you know, there's, I know someone's doing a B-Girl from like, you know, the radio sessions from 10. Like there's some deep cuts going on. So I'm pretty excited.
Well, that actually, that kind of brings up a question I had. Is there a song that maybe you're avoiding because you're thinking, oh, maybe it's overplayed or I don't know. There's just, you're like, nah, not that one.
Or maybe it's too intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that.
Yeah. Well, you know, like Spin the Black Circle is pretty intimidating. So I'm just going to swing for the fence on that one. Hopefully I hit it. You know, I don't think that, you know, there's a lot on 10 that's being covered. I don't think anyone's doing a live at this show, but I could be surprised. You know, we'll be doing Even Flow. Kirby Crock will be doing Even Flow from 10. And then it's kind of interesting to see who picked what songs kind of depending on what era of the band they're into. So for me, it's like the go-tos were, you know, Versus, Vitology, and No Code. But I like the later stuff, too. So it's really worked out well. I'm thankful that there hasn't been too much overlap. And I think everyone's pretty jones about the songs that they're doing.
Yeah, because I when I saw the whole lineup, I was like, oh, man, is there going to be like a fist fight on stage? I mean, everyone's going to be like, oh, I wanted to do that song. This wasn't in rehearsal.
Yeah, no, it'd be pretty funny. Well, maybe like the deal I should make is, okay, if you're going to do, if you're going to double up on songs, the person who chose it first gets to do it the original way. The other person has to do like bluegrass style or something like that.
Nice. Very cool.
That'd be funny.
And then no one would play. Oh.
and we're talking to Kyle Stevens from a local band Kirby Crackle, and we're getting into their Pearl Jam tribute night, which is going to be on Saturday, April 8th at the High Dive, featuring Kirby Crackle and so many other bands. And I think that's what I'd like to ask you about next. Who's going to be on this bill with you? Because like I was looking at the Facebook event page, there's a few bands listed, but I don't know if that's everybody that's going to be there. What are we in store for that night?
Well, thank you for reminding me. I need to update the Facebook event page because there has been more people added. Kirby Crackle, I'm going to be doing acoustic sets, and because I just can't wait to play so much, I put together a little side band for this, as yet unnamed. So we'll be doing some other songs, some playing with some people that I've known forever, but we've never actually played together. So that's pretty cool. Villain of the Week is going to play. Villain of the Week, you might know John Ford. He is often seen on stage as Kirby Crackle's kind of guitar tech, and he's jammed with us before on some covers at Crackle Fest in the past.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Zach Davidson, better known as the lead singer and songwriter for Seattle band Vendetta Red, will be playing. He's putting together a side group for this. Then also a new band, not a new band to Seattle, but new to me, the Loveless Building. They're putting together a crew for that. And then there's a couple other, like, you know, people that are signing up that we'll kind of share as time goes on. But, you know, each band's going to do about 4 to 8 songs.
Okay.
And everyone's using the same gear. So, you know, it's one of those things where I just want this to be a great fan experience. So there's not going to be huge change over time in between bands. It's just going to be like boom, 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 pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the worst thing is that I don't get the word out about this enough, you know. So I'm just trying to spread the word everywhere and letting people know that you know, if you're a Pearl Jam fan, we don't want you to not be able to come because you didn't hear about it, is what I'm trying to say. So we're spreading the word as far as we can.
So, important question. Do you prefer Eddie Vedder with or without the facial hair?
With or without the facial hair?
Yes.
Oh, man, this is like Pepsi or Coke, right?
Yeah.
Well, because I mean, it's kind of a tale of two eras, if you think about it from a certain point of view.
Yeah, you know, I just think those guys look, you know, great on stage no matter what. I think, you know, they kind of have set the standard for the rock and roll, you know, look that kind of keeps on going throughout the years, and the way they decorate their stage and the way they handle their art and photos. It's just, you know, over the years, it's been really inspirational for me. And I don't think too much about the facial hair thing because he sings like a mother no matter what. So.
Very, very true.
Fair answer. Just thought I would ask because, you know, it's the look. I don't know. Maybe yeah. I look very closely.
It's an entire aesthetic. I don't know. I don't know. Hey, at least we're not asking about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, so I guess we're okay.
It's a fun question.
It is a fun question. It is a fun question. So maybe talk about how you first encountered Pearl Jam and why it's resonated with you so much and why it's a band that's still so important to you musically.
It's a good question. Let me think of it. I shouldn't have to think too hard. It's I've kind of lived it since I was 13. Mm-hmm. Basically, when I was 13, I got my first guitar, and that was like a very pivotal point of in a young little dude's and little lady's age in terms of like getting into music and kind of finding what is the thing that that you connect with. Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, and Nirvana, and all those guys were getting really big around here, and they were playing all the time, but I couldn't go and participate, right, because I was too little. So in my head, it kind of built up to be this kind of magical, like, inaccessible thing that I just had to, like, read about in the paper and, guitar magazines and the local rock rags. Mm-hmm. So I think there's always, like, a little bit of mystique there for me. I learned a lot of the guitar. I learned how to play in the beginning was their songs, and there were songs I couldn't play, but over the course of playing music for 20 plus years now, I would be able to play. There'd be different periods of my life where I could all of a sudden play those songs as my mm-hmm. ability level went up. It's always been kind of like a new level of access for me. Mm-hmm. And being that I've committed to a life of music, I find it very inspiring that they've kind of always stuck with the same lineup for the most part, other than a couple drummers over the years. And always kind of, branched out to explore new pathways in songwriting and sonics and arrangements. But there's always that core. And I guess that's mm-hmm. how I feel about, what I do to a degree. Like, I feel like there's always a core, but I feel comfortable to explore and connect. And so in a lot of ways, their career just has always kind of been a guide for me in terms of, doing the right thing with ticket prices or doing benefits and putting their money in a place where it can help others and with education and giving back to their city. So I've always found it very inspiring. And one of the main reasons I'm doing this show is when I was little, I was always like, I love watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And in my head, it's like, I'm going to get big enough so where then I'm the one that will induct them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That was always my goal, right? Aww. So now we get to their being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and that's not going to happen, okay? I'm sorry to say it. I'm not surprised. Spoiler alert, I'm not inducting them. But this is kind of my way of paying tribute and showing appreciation in a way that I think other people who are fans of the band and so many people, I think, connect with them on the way that I'm talking about here that I'm hoping that it's like a big celebration for people. So I just kind of, want people to go and hear bands that are cranking the songs out with passion and fever, and I think people will connect with that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people will enjoy that.
Yeah,
especially in this area.
Absolutely, that's awesome. And we're talking to Kyle Stevens from Seattle band Kirby Crackle, and you're listening to 89.9 KGRG FM. Today's Rock. My name is Mike. Here along with Andrea, and Kyle, you had you mentioned a second ago that you were a fan of watching the Hall of Fame inductions, and I agree with you. Some of those performances are very iconic and amazing. Like, so as a fan of Pearl Jam and as a fan of just the festivities. What would you be looking for to see it during that induction ceremony?
Well, I was trying to think about that, and it's kind of hard for me to picture what it's going to be like. Mm-hmm. 'Cause to me, it's always been, artists like Neil Young and Crosby, Stills, and Nash and people like that, and the Doors were,
sure.
For example, if Eddie Vedder played on stage with the Doors. It's always been kind of this generational gap. That's what I find attractive, where mm-hmm. we're bands that were influential to the people that are inducting them, then eventually play together at the end of the night.
Right.
I think that's really cool. So I'm curious, I think with this, the script is kind of flipped, right? I'm pretty sure Neil Young is inducting Pearl Jam on this.
Really?
So it's not like a younger band, but those guys are kind of all crewed up together anyway, so it makes sense. But
yeah, true.
It'll be interesting to see, what song choices they do when mm-hmm. they kind of do their big representative set, because they're always about looking forward, not really looking back. So I'm sure we'll hear a classic in there, but I really don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of exciting to picture it.
Is there maybe a guest that you hope shows up and plays with them?
Hmm.
You know, I can see Springsteen doing that. I can see him popping up. You know, it depends if the Kings of Leon dudes are there. Like, for example, I thought they were going to be the ones that were going to induct them before it was announced. So I was surprised to hear Neil Young. It makes a lot of sense. But,
right.
You know, if you think of, you know, in a lot of ways, I think of, you know, Kings of Leon just in general is one of the last kind of rock bands that mm-hmm. is kind of like on a worldwide level. I you think of, like, you know, say whatever you want about Coldplay, but I think mm-hmm. like, you know, them and the Killers and Kings of Leon are kind of like the newest guard in a way.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Group. Yeah, I mean, who else would you guys put in that category? Because I always think about this, but there's, like, you know, the time of rock dominating radio is not really around at the moment. So
I mean,
there's a path, where there's only a certain amount of slots, I feel, currently.
I mean, I always put Foo Fighters in there because they're pretty consistent.
True. Yeah. And they're kind of this, I mean, I think those guys are around the same age because that's, like, you know, the Nirvana crew and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I picture them, like, you know, the 50s, but I'm always curious, like, you know, who's in their, like, late 30s, early 40s, who you would say is, like, the next generation. It's interesting.
That's true, yeah.
That's a really good question to ponder. You know, even myself, I don't necessarily have a good answer off of the top of my head. Yeah. We'll all have to ponder that one together as we're all listening to this. The show is Hail Hail, a tribute to Pearl Jam, benefiting the Vitalogy Foundation. That is going to be April 8th at the High Dive in Fremont in Seattle. And we're talking to Kyle Stevens, the mastermind behind Seattle Nerd Rockers Kirby Crackle. My name is Mike, along here with Andrea, and you're listening to 89.9. KGRG FM. And Kyle, before we let you go, could you remind folks where to connect with you on social media, where to find out more about your music, and how to find out more about this awesome Pearl Jam tribute night, and where they can get tickets?
Definitely. You know, you can head to KirbyCracklemusic.com. That's kind of the center for all things about my music and nerd rock. You can hear all our music there, see all our videos. And on the front page, you can see the show flyer for Hail Hail, our tribute to Pearl Jam on April 8th. Mm-hmm. And you just click the image and it'll take you to the advanced ticket section.
Awesome. And one last quick question for you, just kind of like as a tease for the future, because we know that this Pearl Jam tribute night is going to be an incredible success because, I mean, it's an amazing charity. It's an amazing band, you know, an amazing lineup. But I remember hearing rumors that you have another tribute night that's going to be coming up maybe towards summertime. Do you want to talk about that just a little briefly as a tease maybe?
Yeah, definitely. You know, this is the first of two tribute nights I decided to put together when I was inspired by everything kind of going on politically in the, mm-hmm. the beginning of the year and continued going on and the small difference that I might be able to make with aligning the people that I know who are also like-minded of wanting to do something new. And mm-hmm. so besides this Pearl Jam tribute night, we'll be having an REM / NXS tribute night on June 2nd at the High Dive as well. So it's going to be a lot of the same bands, every band set half NXS, half REM. And you know, people think of those two bands as totally different, but actually they came up right at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So their genre is different. Their careers kind of paralleled, and they've always been very, you know, pro women's rights and pro equality. And so that's why we're doing that benefit for Planned Parenthood.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Cool bands, too.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't think anyone's done it. I mean, there's been some overlap in a couple of years of tribute nights around here, but I know no one's done a Pearl Jam tribute night, and I think someone's done REM, but no one's done NXS. So I think that's going to be really interesting to see the crowd that comes out for that mashup.
Yeah, awesome. I just think this is going to be an awesome event. If I could go, I definitely plan on doing it.
Oh, yeah, and that is, I guess, one thing we should mention as a public service announcement. The High Dive is a 21 and over event, so...
Craze.
We're looking to stream it, so we'll be streaming it, and we'll give people who want to see it who aren't of age or aren't in Seattle at the time a way to connect with what's going on that night.
Well, awesome. Yeah, so I guess there's something for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Very, very cool. Because, cool. I know you've done some streaming from Kirby Crackle shows. So, yeah, so to perhaps have the opportunity to do that would be really, really cool.
Yeah, we hope to hook it up. I'm sure it'll work out good.
Excellent. Well, Kyle, before we let you go, is there anything else we may have left out or anything else you want to promote real quick?
You know, I think we covered it. As always, I'm very appreciative of the love you guys give my music and Kirby Crackle and the interest in what we have going on. And I hope your listeners have a good time with the show.
I hope so, too. We're just excited to help spread the good word. And, yeah, it's going to be a really fun show. Again, that is going to be on Saturday, April 8th. The show is Hail Hail, a tribute to Pearl Jam benefiting the Vitality Foundation. That is going to be at the High Dive in Seattle. For more information, head over to KirbyCracklemusic.com or HighDiveSeattle.com. Kyle, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Yeah, it's great talking to you.
Yeah, great talking to you guys. Thanks again.
Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye.